Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, The Parson of Panamint. The starring players...
This is Charlie Ruggles.
This is Ellen Drew.
And this is Don DeFore.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in a heartwarming story of the early West, Paramount Pictures, The Parson of Panamint, by Peter B. Kine. It stars Ellen Drew as Mary, Charlie Ruggles as Chuckawalla Bill, and Don DeFore as the parson, Philip Farrell. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in The Parson of Panamint.
There she is down there, the town of Panamint. Only a ghost town now, tumbleweeds blowing through the streets, buildings just sagging and rotting away. Yeah, she's dead, all right. Deader than the seven sleepers. And I'm the one that knows what killed her. Me, Chuckawalla Bill Redfield. Yep, I was the daddy of that town, and a mighty lovely lady she was. A string of nuggets around her throat, a smile on her lips, and a knife in her garter. While looking down from up here on the hill, it seems I can almost see the lights go on again and hear the sound of men's voices, the miners gambling their gold away in the pick and drill, and Mary Mallory singing. Mary was working there in them days. And Chappie Ellerton was running the roulette wheel. An ornery cuss if I ever seed one.
Now, wait a minute, will you, Mary? I got an idea for you.
Have you, Chappie? Well, here's something for you.
Hey, what'd you slap me for? What'd I say?
It wasn't what you said. It was what you were thinking. Don't ever forget, mister, I'm Bud Deming's girl.
Now, this here Bud Deming, he owned the pick and drill. And maybe he wasn't exactly a good citizen, but he sure was a decent one. And me being mayor of Panamint and all, well, when the church committee started pestering me, I sort of jawed it out with Bud.
You just got the wrong slant on this, Chuckawalla. We could use a parson this town.
Yeah, you think so, Bud?
Mm-hmm. And I'd hate to see the kind of one those psalm singers would pick. I think it's up to you, Bill. Go up to San Francisco, get a nice, mild lad we can mold. Someone who'd understand the ways of an old scoundrel like you.
Yeah, and one that'd forgive you for being a no-good?
Exactly.
You reckon I could find such a preacher, Bud?
You found gold.
Yeah, but what would I ask him? How would I know I was getting my money's worth?
Well, just ask him if he believes in brotherly love. Of course, he'll say yes. But if you're sure he means it, you bring him home and I'll personally present the church with a set of bells.
Well, doggone it, me, Chuckawalla Bill Redfield, going out to stalk a preacher. Yeah, and I did it, too. I found me a fine, upstanding young fella. Philip Farrell was his name, and we had quite a reception at the parsonage when I brung him home. Naturally, all the better folks was there, like a pack of wolves waiting for the kill. And they didn't like it none when Bud Deming showed up with Mary Mallory. But the parson, Philip, he treated them all alike, kind of gentle and smiling. Yep, even when Crabapple Jones come barging in drunk on a hoot owl, the young parson, he just laughed and drug him out to the kitchen to sober him up. Bud and Mary went along to help, them having fair experiences in such matters, and that's when the pot began to boil. Regular indignation meeting it was.
Reverend, may we have a word with you?
Why, certainly.
Being a new arrival, of course, we don't entirely blame you for failing to recognize the good citizens of Panamint from those of doubtful character.
Doesn't character sometimes depend on who does the doubting?
Running a bank sort of gives me an insight into the community, Reverend. I know who contributes to our town's upkeep and who doesn't.
Well, children make mighty little money, but you can't say they don't contribute something to a town.
I don't mean them. I mean the kind of people that, well...
The book says not to cast pearls before swine.
Yes, so it does, Judge. I think I see your viewpoint, gentlemen. But maybe you'll understand mine better if I tell you a little story. It's about a man who lived in a little Kansas town. He wasn't doing very well, and after a while his wife and children were hungry. So he broke into a store and stole a whole lot of canned goods and a warm coat for his wife. But they caught him next day, and the owner of the store filed a complaint against him. Only a strange thing happened. During the trial, the owner of the store was himself arrested for stealing a huge sum of money from his stockholders.
Well, what does all that prove, Reverend?
Let the fellow that's white as a lamb toss the first rock. Yeah, see you later, gentlemen. Come along, Parson.
You know, Bill, I don't think I made a very good first impression.
Well, son, I could explain that with a little story of my own. It goes something like this. That some folks can look at a vein of ore all their lives and never know it's gold. Now, you go on back to the kitchen and finish your job.
Thanks, Bill.
You don't mention it, son. See you tomorrow.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Mary. Where's Crabapple?
Bud took him out for a walk. He needed it.
I hope he's all right.
Look, Parson, it makes a good act, helping the unfortunate. But you'll never sell it to that bunch of hypocrites out there.
Won't I? What gives you such a bad opinion of people, Mary?
Oh, people, mostly.
There he is, Parson. I don't know what you gave him, but it must have been three parts dynamite.
Thanks for helping, Bud. How do you feel, Crabapple?
Oh, I ain't so well, Parson.
You will be. You know, Bill tells me you're a great cook when you're feeling right.
Sure I am. Owned my own restaurant once in Denver.
Well, I'm not much of a hand with a skillet myself, and I was thinking if you'd like a place to eat and sleep. What about it?
Nope. You're aiming to reform me.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Except inside of 2 months associating with me, you'd be consuming so much fire water you wouldn't recognize your own stomach.
I'll take a chance if you will. Either I reform you, or you degenerate me.
Well, that's a fair proposition, Crabapple. I'd say the odds are about even.
Well, Bud, you ought to know. Okay, Parson. You got a deal. And a cook.
Well, can you imagine the town drunk living right here in the parsonage? Say, Jonathan and Arnold was fit to be tied. But the trouble didn't rightly start till Philip took in Mary, too. That was after the shooting, that was. You see, Jake Waldron gets roaring drunk in the pick and drill, and he pulls a gun on Bud. Only Mary was the one that got it, right in the shoulder. You hurt pretty bad, too, she was. And needing lots of rest and quiet, and none of them good folks would take her in, so Philip, he says the parsonage is nice and peaceful, and why not bring her over there? Yep, that sure got them blue noses steaming. That and a couple of other things. And me being so close to Philip, I figures we ought to have a little talk.
Don't you think you're taking it too seriously, Bill? You know I'm only doing my duty as a minister.
Well, I know you got the dangdest combination I ever see living in this house. A parson, a dance hall girl, and a drunk.
Oh, but Mary's a very fine girl. And Crabapple's a good cook. Besides, he hasn't had a drink for weeks.
All right, Philip, it's your house. But there's one more thing while I'm at it. How far are you going with that mine situation?
As far as I have to. You told me yourself that mine isn't safe.
Yeah, I know. I already sent word to McElroy. He's a friend of mine, state inspector.
We can't afford to wait, Bill. No telling when that underground river might break through.
Yeah, but Jonathan and Arnold own the most of it, and you know they ain't going to lose no 2 months of digging just to shore it up good and strong like it ought to be.
Well, then I'll take it up with the miners themselves. They have a right to demand protection.
You're sure heading for a showdown, son. No changing you about Mary either, I suppose.
I'm afraid not, Bill. Right now, the only important thing is to get her well. Bud tells me they're giving you a banquet at the Pick and Drill tonight, Mary. You must be very happy getting back to work.
Yeah.
Well, Anyway, you don't have to work Sunday mornings. I'll be seeing you in church.
I wouldn't count on that.
Oh, but I am counting on it. I thought we might even start a choir.
I get paid when I sing. Look, Parson, don't think I'm a complete washout. I know you took care of me, but...
But what, Mary?
Well, I don't belong in church. I belong with Bud at the pick and drill.
Bud means a lot to you, doesn't he?
Gave me a chance when nobody else would.
Yeah, Bud's all right. But he won't be all right if... Well, if he finds Jake Walden and kills him as he promised to, he'll be a criminal, hunted for the rest of his days.
I know.
I think you're the only one who can help him, Mary. Make him see that Jake's death will solve nothing. Really, really show him the way. By forgiving Jake yourself.
I'll try, Parson.
Who knows? One day we might make Bud give up his gambling. We might even get him in church.
Oh, Bud. Say, when he goes there, I'll sing in your church.
That is a promise, Mary. I'll see you at the banquet tonight.
The banquet? You can't go there, Parson.
Why not? I've been invited.
Well, it's a gambling house and a saloon.
Well, I don't gamble, I don't drink, but it is a chance to meet more new people for the church. Besides, you never can tell. I may have a reason that's even more important.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Have you ever noticed how much better you feel when you know you look good? How it gives a wonderful lift to your spirits, a lift to your whole personality? So many women have written to tell me that's exactly what happens when they apply my new powder shade, Bridal Pink. They say Bridal Pink not only makes them look younger and lovelier, it makes them feel younger. It makes them feel wonderful. Bridal Pink is a new kind of powder shade because it's flattering to four different types of skin. Whether your hair is blonde, brunette, auburn, or brown, you'll find that Bridal Pink instantly gives a more vital, a more dynamic look to your entire appearance. And the texture of Lady Esther face powder is like no powder texture you've ever known, for it's blended by the speed and force of hurricanes. The instant you apply Lady Esther face powder, you'll see how tiny lines and blemishes are completely covered, how the texture of your skin becomes smoother, finer looking. Lady Esther face powder clings for 4 hours or longer, yet feels light as a feather on your face. It gives you extra poise because you feel so sure of yourself, so sure of your appearance. Ask your dealer for Lady Esther Bridal Pink. If he's sold out of it, he'll be glad to order it for you, but accept no other shade. For no powder shade can give you the radiant, fascinating look of a woman in love, like Lady Esther Bridal Pink.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of The Parson of Panamint, starring Don DeFore, Ellen Drew, and Charlie Ruggles.
Well, danged if Philip don't go to that banquet. And you know who he takes along? Jake Waldron himself. Yep. And for a second, it looked like the lead's gonna fly. But the parson, he steps in front of Jake, and then Jake apologizes, and Mary makes Bud put up his gun, and it looks like things is gonna be nice and quiet. Except you never can tell with a fella like Philip. There we was, standing by the roulette table, and Chappy Ellerton was making his speech.
Round she goes, and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows but the Lord, and he won't tell. Round she goes and round...
Well, the parson didn't like that, Chappie using the Lord's name in vain. But Chappie sort of egged him on, and then he grabbed a dollar out of the parson's hand and tossed it on the table. It landed right on number 17, and that's the number that comes up. The parson just stood there, kind of dazed-like, and Chappie spun the wheel again. And danged if 17 don't turn up again. And that's when Chappie hollered for Bud.
Hey, Bud.
What's up, Jeffy?
You want to let this guy pyramid?
The parson? Sure, anything he wants, all right with me.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Bud. I'm just playing this.
Round she goes and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows but the Lord, and he won't... 17.
3 times in a row. How much is that, Bud?
$42,875.
Way.
Parson, the place is yours. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh, but I don't understand this.
Simple enough. I can't pay off. Nobody ever accused me of welching.
Parson, I'm telling you, Chappie threw that wheel. I know he did.
Why should he do that, Mary?
Well, he's always been after me. He must have figured he'd have a chance if he clears Bud out.
I see. Where's Bud now?
In there, in the office, making out the bill of sale.
Look, Mary, you've got to talk to him. Even if the wheel were straight, I wouldn't want this place. I know Bud's proud, but you've got to make him see that... Hey, what's that?
That came from the office. Bud! Bud!
Who did it, Bud? Who shot you? You've got to tell us.
I'm sorry, Parson. No dice. Remember, you gotta forgive your enemies. Mary.
I'm here, Bud.
He'll look after you. Won't you, Parson?
You know I will.
Yeah. You're okay. Only one thing more.
Anything, Bud.
If you could say a few words in your church, I'd like to be...
Steady now. Steady. Services for the late Bud Deming tomorrow morning at the church. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, joy shall be in heaven for one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now I'm going to ask Mary Mallory to lead us in a hymn. Please, Mary.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me
reckon that was about the last straw, bringing Bud Demon into the church. Jonathan's crowd was after Philip's scalp anyway, account of that business at the mine, and this thing kind of gave them their chance to fire him. But Philip wasn't licked yet. No, sir, not him. He still had that saloon he'd won, the pick and drill, and he starts right in making it over into a church. Mary works right with him, too. And the way she looks at him, you can tell it ain't just 'cause she's got religion. And that's when Chappie Ellerton comes in again. He starts hanging around Mary just like before.
Oh, come on, Mary. Get off your high horse. I ain't such a bad fellow once you know me.
The trouble is, I do know you, Chappie. When you killed Bud Deming...
Who says I killed Bud?
I do.
Oh, you're crazy. Everyone knows Bud shot himself because he lost his place.
You mean they just can't prove anything else?
Ah, now listen, honey.
Let go of me. Let go, I said.
Easy now.
You'd better get out of here, Chappie.
What?
Philip!
Go on, get.
Maybe I better stick around here so I'll have plenty to tell the folks in town.
I'm warning you, Chappie.
And don't think you're fooling the decent people in this town. A preacher who's been kicked out of his church. And a woman
Why, you
been...
rotten little...
Philip, look out!
Put on that gun, you... No! Oh! I'm sorry, Mary. I just lost my temper. Get up, Chappie.
Chappie. Philip, why doesn't he move?
Well, he hit his head on that iron cuspidor.
Hey, Mary, hey. Hi there, Parson.
Oh, crab apple at a time like this.
Now, I can explain everything. Parson, if you'll just... What's the matter? You mad?
Crab apple. Go and get the sheriff.
Sheriff?
I'm afraid this man is dead.
I'll call the trial immediately, Jonathan. Of course, there were witnesses. They say it was an accident.
Accident? Just look at the facts, Arnold. This man desecrated the house of the Lord. He brawled. He gambled. He took up with a dance hall girl. And don't forget, he dared destroy our means of existence by spreading lies, by inciting our minors against us. Such a man, I say, is capable of murder.
The truth is, Crabapple, you can't remember anything about that day very clearly because you were drunk, weren't you? Answer me, were you drunk?
Yes, I guess maybe I was.
That's all. Next witness, please. As a matter of fact, Miss Mallory, you're in love with the defendant, aren't you? Answer me, are you in love with Philip Farrell?
Yes.
This woman's testimony is prejudiced. It cannot be admitted in this trial. Your Honor, the prosecution rests.
The attorney for the defense. You ready, Chuckawalla?
Yes, I'm ready. But I ain't speaking as no lawyer. I'm just talking as Philip Farrell's friend. All you fellas on the jury, you used to think mighty well of a gent named Chuckawalla Bill Redfield. He was the daddy of this town, and you made him mayor because he discovered the gold this town is built on. But I guess there wasn't one of you knew when the second discovery was made around here. It wasn't hard yellow metal this time, and being humans with human failings, I guess it just sort of passed off without you noticing it. But it was there just the same. The biggest discovery ever made in Panamint. It was called brotherly love. And Philip Farrell was the man that showed it to us. And so now it's in your hands, friends, to choose which has done the most for this town, the gold or the goodness and the kindness and the brotherhood this man has brought you. And I'm hoping you fellas will make the right choice, or you're apt to regret it all the rest of your lives. That's all.
Gentlemen of the jury, I don't think you need discuss this very much. You've heard all the testimony. Have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We find the defendant guilty as charged.
Well, gol darn them, the cowards, the blasted coyotes.
No, no, don't blame them, Bill. They don't realize.
Don't anybody move! Go on, Bill. Go on, get the parson away. There's horses outside.
Crabapple, you're a man after my own heart. That's right, keep them ducking. Come on, Philip, we're getting out.
Wait, Bill. Slow down.
What's the matter, Parson?
Look, we can't do this. I'm going back.
But gold dang it, Philip.
Look, please don't swear.
Well, excuse me, but you got to listen. You can't go back till I talk to McElroy.
McElroy?
Yeah, the state inspector. He's waiting for me at the mine. Don't you see? Folks will listen if he says the mine ain't safe. They'll know why you was railroaded, and you'll get another trial, and a fair one. All you got to do is to hide out for a while.
Where can I hide, Bill?
Well, there must be someone in this town who owes you something. Wait a minute. Jake Walters.
Jake doesn't owe me anything.
He don't? Oh, only his life, that's all. Now, you get on over there. I'll see you later.
Telling you, Arnold, Chuckawalla's gone down to the mine and left the parson at Jake Waldron's place.
Well, Jonathan, are you sure?
I got it straight from Jake Waldron himself. I had to pay him $30.
What are we going to do?
We know where Farrell is, don't we? We can tell folks he's trying to close down the mine. Leave it to them. They'll do the rest.
But Jonathan, a lynching... This isn't at all regular.
This is no lynching, Arnold. He was convicted in your court, and the sheriff there is the legal executioner.
Well, I guess this spot'll do, Jonathan. Right on top of the hill.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
What's Chuckawalla?
Stop it, you fools, you girl-turned idiots! What are you trying to do to the parson?
Get back, Chuckawalla. We don't want no trouble with you.
This man is guilty of murder, and he's going to be hanged.
You're a hypocrite. She ain't hanging for murder, and you ain't hanging him for murder. You're gonna kill him because he told you things you didn't want to hear.
That's a lie! He's been a bad influence. He's tried to ruin our town.
Ruin your town? Listen to me, all of you. He didn't ruin your town. You ruined it yourselves with hate and greed. It's the judgment of the Almighty that's on you, Jonathan, and you, Arnold, and you, and you, and you, and all of you that's had a hand in this thing. You had murder in your hearts, but you killed your own selves. Listen to me. I got something to tell you. The river's broke through. The gold is gone. It's gone because you wouldn't listen to him. I tell you, Panamint is doomed. Doomed to dust and ashes. Without the gold, there's nothing left. That's right, that's right. Go on, run. Run, go see for yourselves. Go on, run. And someday I'll tell everyone why Panamint is no longer a city. Why it's dead. Dead. It's dead.
Yep, there she is down there. Just dust and ashes. The parson, he stayed to the end, him and Mary, working together till the last man and woman had gone from Panamint forever. And then they went away, too, together. Because there wasn't nobody left for them to help. But wherever they are, there's one thing I'm sure of. People are a little better, a little finer, a little closer to God, just for having known the parson of Panamint.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie Ruggles, Don DeFore, and Ellen Drew, for a delightful and entertaining half hour. The Motion Picture Relief Fund is grateful indeed for your appearances tonight. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Is your skin a little dry? Is it a little rough and flaky? Try this before you apply your face powder. See and feel the amazing difference. Just rub Lady Esther four-purpose face cream well into your skin. Then wipe it off completely. And along with it will come all those dry, ragged little flakes nature is trying to throw off. Run your fingertips over your face before and after using Lady Esther face cream. Your fingertips will tell you far more than I can. They'll tell you how much softer your skin has become, how much smoother. And you'll see the difference in your mirror. You'll see how beautifully your powder goes on, how smoothly it clings. You'll see the new, translucent look of your skin, the clear, youthful finish. Use Lady Esther four-purpose face cream morning and night. Use it before going out in the afternoon or the evening, whenever you want to look your best. It's a complete beauty treatment in itself. First, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Second, it softens your skin, absorbs the dry flakes. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And fourth, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. If you want to see a truly dramatic change in your appearance, use Lady Esther face cream first, then apply Lady Esther face powder in bridal pink, the new shade that's so daringly romantic. You'll be delighted by the fascinating new beauty that is suddenly yours.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Alibi Ike. It will star Joan Loring, Alan Hale, and Jack Carson. Be sure to listen. Ellen Drew can soon be seen in the RKO production China Skies. Charlie Ruggles is currently working in the Warner Brothers production A Stolen Life. Don DeFore will soon be seen in Paramount's Hal Wallace production You Came Along. The Parson of Panamint by Peter B. Kine was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, producers of Out of This World. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.